Dragoneers and Dungeon Crawlers to D&D and Big D, where we put the D in D&D. We're a group of seasoned folks who play through published adventures and review them in a post-mortem. Stay tuned as we will also be inviting special guest PCs from other podcasts, content creators, and many other nerd celebrities out there. Howdy, this is your Dungeon Meister, Paul, also known as Stunt Monkey Z, with your intro. In this one-shot adventure, we'll be playing through Greenhouse of Nightmares by Zeke Gonzalez. This is a level 17 through 20 adventure and is available at DM's Guild. We have a returning special guest for this one-shot, the legendary Gavin of Weezer and Dragons. The last time we had him on here, he broke the DM. Let's see how he does this time. And be sure to follow him on Twitter. Now, get out your gardening gloves, get your pruning shears out, get some sunscreen on, as we listen to The Greenhouse of Nightmares by Zeke Gonzalez.
Oh, dang, there's three players tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
What's up, man?
Hey, Sexy, how you doing?
How you doing, man? It's a big mood.
We're waiting for one more to show up. We should be good to go.
Waiting on me. I'm right here.
Oh, there you are. Cool. Guess I'll do a little quick intro. Tonight, we're going to be playing a Tier 4 adventure written by Zeke Gonzalez. And the adventure is called Greenhouse of Nightmares. Pretty Little Lich's Greenhouse of Nightmares. So, good times. Uh-huh. This is going to be a lot of fun. I didn't get a chance to read at all through any of the stuff. Yeah, it'll be a learning experience for everybody.
I just realized I'm actually going to need my player's handbook for this because I'm a wild magic sorcerer.
Oh Jesus, you too?
Yeah.
Wait, you're one too?
Yep.
Oh, fuck. Let's do this.
Yeah.
We're going to be casting some spells tonight, baby.
We are going to be doing some shit.
I would say my guy's not necessarily abnormally crazy, but he's definitely would be like he would be like the villain of a high tier campaign, I think. Not necessarily that he's bad, but he would rule with an iron fist for sure. Because the characteristics of the character did not matter for the one shot I made him for. But since we're recording, I have to actually like think about it. And I'm like, well, this guy definitely seems like some kind of weird, crazy Russian ruler guy. He's a dwarf, so I don't want to do Scottish because that's played out.
Yeah.
Right. That's true.
But Russian, I can see that.
Hell yeah.
Throbian Dark Steel will cast spell.
Good times. All right, so then tell us about Moloch Day. Who went now?
Moloch Day Kinmauer.
Yeah, give us a lowdown.
You've heard my name. It appears that you, whenever you go to bed, but not after you sleep, but just right before. As a matter of fact, that's the thing that knocks it out. And I am known for my many accomplishments. I have read the Book of Infinity, and I eagerly await the next chapter. I have tasted the flesh of the earth itself and found it needs salt. I am the one that is there listening when you start thinking out loud.
All right, I'm back. Man, that's crazy. Like, I don't think I've ever had to, like, look at a level 20 character before, and I'm just like, God damn. All the things I can do now.
I am here at the world that... What are you doing? There's.
Oh, no, that definitely has to go after that little introduction. Yeah. That is amazing.
That was well-timed.
It was super well timed. It's just like not paying attention at all.
All right, I'm back. Roll to get crunk.
You just might tonight. Cat, stay away from my computer. Sorry, there's a cat next to me.
Oh, you know, it's going to just jump on that keyboard, you know.
I know, that's what I'm trying to.
You got to lay out like a dummy keyboard.
Yeah. We have a couple of different options. We see you're hired by a wood elf named Aelith. Wow, I said that right. Aelith Summergale, whose wife, Saria Summergale, and pet giant boar, Snoot, disappeared while searching for truffles in Memorial Mire. Aelith offers the party 2,000 gold. Seeing as how there's three of you and you're all level 20, I want to jazz that up to 10,000 gold. And Saria's old red dragon scale mail for finding their wife.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
This way, this guy just has red dragon scale mail to throw around. Hey, find my woman here.
I mean, we are level 20. Like, you gotta entice us to get out of the house somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't be like, oh, chainmail armor. Ooh.
We don't get out of bed for like 30 copper pieces and a health potion anymore.
All right. So then how about this? How about Aelith also set aside three separate mithril loincloth for each of you?
Oh, absolutely.
Ooh. All right.
Magical sexy tongue.
Oh, the friction is legendary.
Just be careful on a cold night, though. Feels like the pause. Warm. Okay, so let's see. The Verdant Frontistery was once a place of learning for magic users of all kinds. It lay in the center of a beautiful wetland and was home to a diverse assembly of flora and fauna. However, the students and staff of the Verdant were more concerned with lofty arcane considerations than with the health of their environment. The school directed all of its alchemical runoff, trash, and excess arcane energy into the wetland, eroding the ecosystem. Thymia Scarlet Scale became aware of the damage the school wreaked on the environment. She worked tirelessly to save the wetland, but was thwarted by the carelessness of the students and faculty at every turn. After Thymia was transformed into a Medusa and later ascended to Lichdom, she returned to the Verdant Frontistery in order to save the wetland and create the seat of her power. She turned the former inhabitants to stone and used the Gaia Scepter to restore the surrounding area into a pristine natural wetland that she named Memorial Mire. So when you arrive, Thymia and her research assistants are conducting experiments. I can't tell you what she's using, but there you go.
And we have to stop her. Why?
Well, you're not stopping her. I'm just letting you know what's going on there.
Okay. Because I agree with her.
Speaking of agreeing with her, Thok, tell us about your character.
Oh, my bad. No. I muted myself to continue eating dinner.
Oh.
I'm kind of like hanging at what's left. So are we doing this in our voice, or are we doing
You got to do it in the Thok voice.
Okay, well, shit. I was not prepared for that. Let me elevator speech real quick.
Take your time. Just hurry up.
Just hurry up. You got a few minutes, but like now. Hello, adventurers. My name is Thok Eberpine. I'm a half-orc druid known for my craftiness of coining the Zima Super Brew fuel / ale. Not ale. What is it? What the hell was the Zima again?
Jet fuel.
I know it was jet fuel, but like we could also ingest it. What did we just call it? We just kept it a jet fuel?
Ale, beer, whatever.
Ale.
Super ale. No, it was on par with Everclear.
Omnipotent ale. There we go.
Leaving it in.
Yeah, things of kings and gods. I live in my mobile zeppelin that I ride across the regions dealing my Zima. That's just about it.
That's all that needs to be said, homie.
Right.
I'll let the ladies share any more details if you so wish to know.
Damn, okay.
I had a barbarian friend that walked in on this guy and his antics one day.
Yeah. Wow. Okay,
cool. Saved a few species. I'll leave it at that.
That's exactly what you said 2 years ago.
Wow. Thok, for reals down. This is pretty cool. Okay, so it looks like I said, Aelith Summergale wishes y'all to go into Memorial Mire to rescue or to find out what happened to the spouse, to the wife, Syria Summergale, as well as Snoot the Giant Boar.
Snoot.
Everybody, okay, so one thing that we do whenever there's tables, and this one definitely has a random encounter table here, we roll on a table, and then we do a real quick scene, really, of what happens in that encounter. So let's go ahead and do that now. First off, let's see, Drogon, you're the honored guest here. You go ahead and roll a d6 for us.
A d6. Drogon rolls 2.
Okay, so looming out of the swamp is a tall and steeply inclined cave entrance that pushes down into the earth. Emerging from the cave is a vast snail with long tendrils protruding from its head, reaching for you.
Drogon is frightened. Drogon casts, do I get the chance to respond, or do I need to roll initiative?
You know what? Let's all roll initiative on this one.
Drogon rolls 15.
15?
I've rolled a modest 5.
Modest 5?
Modest 5, much different than normal 5.
Kinmar!
rolls in
with a 16.
But like the tides and the moon, it comes and it goes, highs and lows.
I can't believe that crazy sorcerer would change voice.
And this creature, a Lucar Cole, rolled a 5.
Yes.
So it'll go last.
That was a douchey 5.
It was a very douchey 5.
The pop collar and shit.
Yes.
All right. Moloch, damn, you're going to give me a hell of a time with your name, dude. Moloch Day?
It is Moloch Day.
Ken Mauer.
Ken Moloch Day.
Moloch Day.
All right, Moloch Day.
The Ken Mauer.
The Ken Mauer. You have the floor.
All right, I have to go through my spells list because it is a long one. I
must be compensating.
Where do you think the spell list is written, boy?
So it begins.
I'm actually proud of myself for that one.
That was pretty good. That was real good.
I don't normally throw a zinger out that quick.
This is true. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to cast Hold Monster.
All right. And for the listeners at home?
You choose a creature that you see within range, and the target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or be paralyzed for the duration. The spell has no effect on the undead, and it's just a snail. He's slow as the dead, yes, but I see the life in it, and I'm not going to take it from him. I'm just going to get him to chill a minute.
All right.
Kind of sad I've missed out on all this theatrics, like, on our Facebook group, man. Like, what?
Okay, so this cat rolled a wisdom save throw of 10.
Haha, needs a 19.
Okay, well, hold on. This guy has an anti-magic shell.
You gotta be so precious.
This is not good.
And you see,
this is bad.
The Lucarcoal has advantage on saving throws against spells, and any creature making a spell attack against the Lucarcoal has disadvantage on the attack roll. If the snail succeeds on its saving throw against a spell or a spell attack misses it, an additional effect might occur as determined by rolling a d6. So let's see what it does on the advantage.
It's a snail after my own heart.
And it rolled an 18. And what's your spell save?
19.
All right. It is locked in place.
All right. Nice.
Okay, let's see. Thok, you got a 15. You're next, right?
I got a 5.
Oh, correction. I was testing you. Drogon, you have the floor.
I will simply, let's see, if I hit it, will it be uncharmed or will it still be frozen?
Maybe. Well, it depends. What does the spell say? Moloch Day Ken Mauer. Whether or not he can get hit.
The duration is a minute.
Okay.
And so, all things affiliated unaffect the spell.
There you go.
Ah, so I suggest we just teleport out of here, friends. The best way to deal with this is not at all. We must press forward towards our advantage, or towards our objective.
I agree.
Is it blocking the entire entrance?
Let's just walk away. We walk away from here. We need not this thing.
I guess I'll take your word for it this time.
It's Big Snail. We can move faster than Big Snail.
This is true.
So you guys are moving past it, going leaving the tunnel? What are y'all doing? Leaving the cave?
Correct. We must move deeper into the wilderness, into this place to find our boar friend and the wife. This is a feeble distraction.
I elect to go around the snail and into the cave.
Oh, so you're splitting the party?
No, I guess we can all go into the cave. I suppose into the cave is fine.
All right, so everyone goes into the cave. And going into the cave will take, let's see, everybody roll a d20 real quick for athletics or acrobatics, your best roll.
Well, as an Asmar, I can fly.
I have 13.
That is going to be, yep, I got a 14.
Thok rolls a 13.
Okay, cool. So it takes about a minute to get deeper into the cave. So within that minute, the Lucarcoal wakes up and is now blocking your exit.
We will deal with it later.
However, let's see, you go deeper into the cave. The cave itself is coated with a layer of viscous slime and extends into a maze of tunnels that run beneath the entire Memorial Mire. Let me see, everybody make a survival check.
Boy, what is up with my dice today?
Drogon rolls a non-natural 20.
Okay, that's good enough. Drogon, you notice, or you discover, the Lucar Cole's victim cache. You see the corpses of two Yuan Ti purebloods and a dead basilisk reside deep in there.
Any signs of our boar friend and wife?
With an unnatural 20? No, you do not see a boar or the wife.
Okay.
Let's see, how about you roll me a 1d4?
Let's see, where is one of those? I have a big cache of dice here. Should be easy to find.
Just put your hand directly on it, and whichever pointy one is...
whichever one hurts the most.
That's yeah.
Drogon rolls two.
With a two, you find one dead man's hand mushrooms.
That sounds delicious and also magic. Terrifying.
Magic mushrooms.
And you can tell that it is worth 15 gold piece.
Ah, very nice.
And, okay, so we'll say that in the reverse order, let's say, we'll do this. Drogon, once again, roll a d20 to attack the Lucar Cole.
Any sort of modifier?
Oh, no, this is just an attack, whichever attack you want to do.
Oh, I will be, okay, well, I will be using a spell then. I will be using a...
Careful, it's anti-magic or whatever.
Yeah, but I will just use Firebolt. Cantrip. Right. I think very little of this monster. It is beneath me to fight it. 16.
Okay, if you're attacking it with a spell, you have to roll again at a disadvantage.
Ah, very nice. I can't get much lower than 16. Ah, and somehow I did. 15.
I'm sorry, that's par for the course.
Okay, so you miss. Since you miss, there is a magical effect. Looking at the table, it says no additional effect, so you survived.
Huzzah!
Battle ensues, and everybody is able to slip out of the Lucar Cole, pushing forward. All right, next up, we will go with Ken Maurer. Roll a d6.
Rolling a d6. We shall see how the weaves of chaos unfold. Are you going to be neat or wrinkly? It's a one.
It's a one?
Very
rich. Okay. There are many pools of quicksand hidden among the mangroves, trees, and swampy pools of the mire. Let's see. You stumble upon a 15-foot radius pool of quicksand, and... oh, damn. You're going to run into three giant constrictor snakes.
Oh, god damn it.
Drogon can do big beastie. Big Beastie will wish he did not fight Drogon, Moloch, Ken Maurer, and Thok.
You say that now!
Okay, and let's see, everybody roll a very quick perception check.
Speedy perception. Speedy perception grants me a roll of 16.
Dirty 20!
Dirty 20, yes.
A slightly less modest 8.
All right.
This is the eight you see at the grocery store who's walking around with too much cologne. I see.
Okay, anyone who got higher than a 15, y'all notice that one of these three giant constrictor snakes, in fact, has a barbarian-sized bite mark on its side.
The barbarian was hungry. Snake tastes like chicken.
No, that's not hungry. That is desperate.
And my two-year-old is in here now laughing at me.
Very funny.
That's what I do when I'm in the room with Paul.
Pretty much. Hey, wait a minute.
Let's see. Question, Dungeon Master. Is there a way I could trap these beings behind a wall of light? Or are they coming at us in such a manner where that would also cut off our advance in the cavern?
Well, this is out in the open as it is. And yeah, let me see. It looks like they're just in the bowels above of this whole area. So having said that, no. Actually, you know what? Because you're level 20 and because this is a one-shot, talk it out to me. Give me the mind picture.
Ah, so you see, Drogon would like to use the inspiration from his mother country, the lands where the snow so bright. I would conjure this wall that encapsulates our snake friends here. We will leave them in the light, the wall of light, for 10 minutes, and we will escape. We will move onward to our final destiny.
All right. How do we do that? Do I have to roll? Do I roll? Do you roll?
Let's see. I will read to you the spell. So a shimmering wall of bright light appears at a point I choose within range. The wall appears in any orientation I choose, horizontally, vertically, or diagonally. It can be free-floating, or it can rest on a solid surface. The wall can be up to 60 feet long, 10 feet high, and 5 feet thick. The wall blocks line of the sight, but creatures and objects can pass... Oh, never mind. They can pass through the wall. We do not need this silly wall of light. If things can pass through it, why have a wall of light?
If you're late, excuse me!
I reverse gravity.
Very nice.
Okay, yeah, how do you reverse gravity? Tell me, what's that?
It reverses gravity in a 50-foot radius, 100-foot high cylinder centered on a point within range. All creatures and objects that aren't somehow anchored to the ground in the area fall upwards.
This is an actual spell that exists.
Yeah, I have it too.
Joking. You have it too? Nice. Okay, nice. Then how about this? How about roll me a D10?
10? That is a 7.
And roll it again.
7 and 9. That's a 16.
7 and 9. That's a 79.
Ah, it's a 79. I'll take it.
Okay, so you cast this spell, and the giant constrictor snakes all begin to float up all around. And as you do, these illusory butterflies and flower petals flutter in the air within 10 feet of you. And that's it.
And you have come out to play!
If Drogon would like to take one and then crush it in his hand and then blow the dust at the snakes.
Yeah, the illusionary dust flies at the snakes.
Silly snakes. All right. They do not have to deal with flowing in sky. They are used to being on the ground.
And let's see, Thok, roll me a d6.
And that is a 6.
Okay. Looks like a mated pair of Palpartitans have dug pitfall traps in your path. Let's see. Roll me a perception check real quick, Thok.
And that is a boo. It's an 11.
What was that? Roll again. Your audio's not coming through. Roll again.
I heard a 21.
You heard a 21?
4 plus 12 is 21.
Okay, I guess that's a 21.
23 this time.
23 this time, okay.
My mistake. I mean the first time. You guys couldn't hear it.
Alright, that being said, let me see. You spot the traps that are down there, and in doing such, you're able to help everyone. With a 23, you're able to help everybody navigate through those, avoiding, let's see, several traps that have 2d6 bludgeoning damage. And huzzah, you get past that area. Yay!
Friends, huzzah. Follow me. I can see clearly what path we should take.
Okay, so at this point, I am going to pause real quick, I think, for my
beer. They're very handy.
So I'll be right back.
All right.
Intermission.
Okay, this is Dungeon Meister Paul, also known as Stunt Monkey Z, with my beer break. I just got to replenish my frosty beverage before I get back to DMing. In the meantime, I wanted to brag about some of our sponsors. Common Ground Games, it's the number one D&D place of Dallas. They've got tables running D&D games almost every night of the week. If you live in the Big D area and want to sign up to play, check out their main Facebook page for more information at Common Ground Game Store and their website at BoardGamesDallas.com. Common Ground Games, because we all have the same common ground of playing games. Dungeon Painter Studio. It's a powerful map-making tool for both the seasoned and the beginner map-maker. It comes with a lot of features to help you create your very own world maps. Remember that you can even try the online version for free before you buy their highly affordable full version. Dungeon Painter Studio is available for purchase on Steam. Once again, guys, I just want to say thank you so much for all of the responses we've been getting. Well, y'all heard last episode I was talking about all of our special guests. Well, this time I wanted to talk about the writers who have given us their adventures to review on our show. And from our previous episodes, you've heard from Kristen Eichhorn, Kelsey Dione from Arcane Library, Andrea Mafia, David Dudka, Nada Kurinati, GM Lent with Jason Bacos, JVC Perry, Emily Smith, Ian Gold, JB Little, Tara Hooper, Dear Dungeon Podcast, Jordan from Modified Role Podcast, Florian Emmerich, Ashley Warren, GM Secret Stash, and as of this one is Zeke Gonzalez. Thank you all so much for letting us do what we do. We love playing and reviewing your stuff, and hopefully we're giving you a lot of good notes. For future episodes coming up, get ready because we got some content from W.M. Straley, Barry Dorr, Bryce K., Kim Banuck, Gwyneth Gamble Jarvie, Sadie Laurie, Tristan Jacobs, Paul Siegel, Adam Hancock, Carolina Chalupska, and Miguel de Luis Espinosa. All right, that's about it for me. Just real quick, for our next episode, our next special guests are going to be Mackenzie and Rachel from Dungeon Wives, and the adventure we're going to be playing through is The Forbidden Trophy by Summer Fenwick. All right, that's about it. I got my beer ready now. Let's get back to the adventure, see how these guys are faring. Okay, let us look on to the Verdant Frontistery. Yeah, so y'all stumble into this area. You walk into the front of this ginormous building. You see the rotunda, a pair of wooden double doors that lead into the building, affixed to the outer wall, swaying gently between the two sets of doors, is an enormous and ornate wrought iron chandelier. It looks like there's a total of 15 points of interest, which, due to time restrictions, we aren't going to go through all 15. So how about we do...
D20 roll.
There you go.
Not a D20. I think instead what we're going to do is... roll d12s. Yeah, we'll do that. So, yeah, that'll actually work. Well, because there's 15, and then the final three areas are like big boss battles type of stuff, so I think that makes sense.
They're nice.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's do that. Everybody roll a d12.
Oh, I haven't picked one of these up in a hot minute.
And it's a 12!
Drogon rolls 7.
Okay. Fuck rolls a 6.
6, 7, and 12. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to go into those areas specifically, bypassing everything else that has occurred. So, first up, you walk into this storeroom. Two old wooden tables stand against the far walls of this small room. Scattered across both tables are various alchemical implements, such as vials and flasks bubbling with strange fluids. Strange caustic smells travel through the air. At the tables, everybody roll a quick perception check. And for all intents and purposes, we'll say everyone is in stealth mode right now.
Drogon rolled a 4.
8. 19. Sorry, I forgot the modifier.
I'll take a bad roll on perception check. That is fine.
Yeah. Okay, so everyone who isn't Thok is squinting as they're looking into this room, whereas Thok is like, guys, what are you doing? There are two research assistants right here. You notice a Yuan-Ti, and you notice... Oh, correction, two of them. You see, one of them has a name tag. It says Solku. And just by the cut of their jib, Thok, you can tell that it's a lawful evil and bookish type one, Yuan-Ti Malison. Anyway, and the other one has a name tag that says Hizia, an excitable type three Yuan-Ti Malison. And again, y'all are stealth. You see, you notice a jade key that Hizia carries on the string at his hip. And you notice that if you play your cards right, you can trick Hizia to hand over the key if you do so wish. And let me see, with the high perception check, you know that if you were to insult Thymia, that both of them will go into a rage. But as it is right now, they're both kind of looking at you like, y'all look kind of like you are the new research directors. How can we help you?
We have like no clue about what the contents of these vials are, correct?
Correct.
No idea, no backstory, no nothing. Gotcha.
Well, however, the three of you are spellcasters.
Mm-hmm.
So for all intents and purposes, you could potentially do like arcana checks to check all that if you wanted to.
Oh, I was thinking about creating a ruckus and then in the ruckus trying to just convince them, oh crap, we can get this to stop if you just hand us the key.
We don't need another window scene. Thank you.
Hey, weapons free here. I'll leave this up to y'all.
All I know is that this haziness is entertaining!
So you said there's like bookshelves and stuff, right? Because we're in like a library, sort of.
It's more or less a storeroom, but sure, what the hell? There are some bookshelves.
Oh, well, I mean, there's shelves with stuff on it, right?
Or tables with stuff, yeah.
Tables with stuff. I'm going to animate these tables with stuff.
Alrighty. What are you rolling?
Let's see. Just a moment, because I want to see if I want to cast this at a higher level or not to animate two of these tables, or if I just want a twin spell. Yeah, I've got plenty of sorcery points to play with. I'll just twin this spell. So it's level 5, so I got to expend 5 sorcery points, of which I have 20.
Damn.
Right?
Hell yeah.
And so what size are these tables with stuff on it?
Just workbench type of tables, so I'd probably say you'd average, what, three by 8, something like that, you know?
So they'd probably count as like a size rating medium. That's really what matters.
Yes, yes, yes.
So let's see. Here, would you like me to read the whole spell for the folks at home?
You know what? No, we're in season 2. We can bypass that.
All right, so objects. Okay, cool. Sweet. Well, these things, it looks like they just come to life. I don't think I need to make any sort of roll.
Okay. Can you describe the ruckus for me, sir?
Yeah, so basically I'm going to bring these two benches to life, these workbenches with stuff on them. I'm going to do this from our him position. Oh, so I guess let's see, these are verbal somatic. I'm also going to have to use a hidden spell to not have to do the verbal somatic thing, which will take a couple more of my sorcery points.
You know what? Don't worry about it, dude.
Sweet. Forgot. Got to do the sneaky spell thing. But yeah, I'm going to make these workbenches come to life and basically tell them to start throwing their stuff everywhere to get these guys to worry what the fudge is going on. So you see these two workbenches like, hello, hello, hello. And they're just, you know, moving around, knocking stuff off, just causing a real mess for these two guys who probably make, you know, 5 gold a day or something.
Hey, what's going on here? I've never seen this before. What is this?
And then, because I'm a noble, so I look very official, you see. So I'm going to come out from the shadows and say, ah, darn, these silly workbenches again. You see, the string and the key thing, I must, I have that, and then I can get these things to stop. They will cooperate. I just need to see that, please.
Well, I'm not too sure,
let's see, can you roll a deception check?
Absolutely. See, deception, where is the modifier for this? Plus 11, very nice. So I rolled a 26. Very good at this. I trust me, I get these tables to stop, no problem.
This nobleman is in politics.
Hell yes.
Oh, okay. You seem like, you know, you're legit and everything, especially with your clothes. And yeah, you look like a real hefty level 20 kind of guy. Sure. What can we do to help?
Just give me that thing around your waist there. I must I do that, and then the tables will stop. I will wave my hands, you see.
Oh, sure. Then here you go. This is just a key for the main hall area.
All right, so I'm going to take the key, and then what happens next is I'm going to use prestidigitation to basically make some sparkles and cool colors come out of my hands, and I'm just going to use the mental command portion of the, what spell I just used, the animate object spell, to tell them to stop. So the tables will magically stop, and then the folks I just duped will think I did something cool, when in reality they are just dumb.
Okay, when you're turning the magic off, go ahead and roll me 2d10s.
Yes, because of the wild magic table, I did in fact cast 2 spells, so here we go. So the first roll results in an 86, and the second roll results in a 98.
Okay, the first spell, you cast mirror image.
Ah, of course. Now there are 2 Drogon Darksteels running around.
Perfect.
Continue.
Yes, and then with the next one, you are surrounded by faint ethereal music for the next minute. So it's kind of like your theme music starts to slowly build up into a little tiny crescendo there.
Just to add to this effect, I will again use prestidigitation to begin, slowly picking up things and making the room seem neater and nicer with my new doppelganger friend. Now these two gentlemen should be very impressed.
We are very impressed. Wow! I hope one day I could reach that level.
You just have to continue giving me keys and such, and you too will be as cool as Drogon Darksteel. You too may rule mountaintops and crush governments.
Hey, Melodia, so, you want any popcorn for the show?
You say that as everyone slowly just turns around and starts walking out.
And more for the for next me, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Everybody roll a quick investigation check.
Nat 20.
Ooh, baby. I rolled dirty 20.
And me with my cosmic foresight
rolled a 5.
So natural 20, you find a potion of speed.
Ooh.
And dirty 20, a potion of superior healing.
Wait a minute, that sounds cooler than speed.
I will trade you if you wish.
Nah, that's all right.
All right.
I am big man. The speed will help.
Thok very speedy.
Very speedy stalk.
Thok go fast. Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom. Not like Mazda, though.
Not like Mazda.
Remember, kids, this is fantasy speed. Don't you do real life speed. That'll get you in trouble.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I would much rather do fantasy speed than real life speed.
Yeah, right.
Fantasy speed, you'll actually get to go fast.
Yeah.
Real life speed, you just think you go fast.
Exactly. Nobody wants to think they go fast.
Yeah, then you'll run out into traffic and get hit by things that are fast.
Yes.
And this just keep on going.
And this would be bad.
We came back full circle with the Mazda. Mazda go fast. You run in traffic, things go fast and get hit by Mazda. Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom.
Zima and Zoom Zoom are now canon. All right. Okay, so you move on to number 7. Let me see. Pushed against the walls of this next room are one large cage and two smaller cages constructed from wooden planks. The large cage rests in a pool of thin green slime. Excuse me, I'm snorting here. Let's see.
You just talked about not doing speed, and now you're snorting? What the heck?
I'm keeping it classic, baby. Goblin Coke.
That old school Coke.
Thanks to Oscar, now Goblin Coke is a thing.
Goblin Coke.
Yeah.
What else have you been working on in your little Zeppelin?
No, bro, this is
let me tell you.
Dude, I'm telling you, yeah, our monthly table, man, it gets crazy. Yeah, that one we don't record intentionally. I'll say that.
Those are the best games.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Goblin Coke became canon, and now apparently fantasy speed is a thing now, so... Which makes me want to create a...
An item shop to sell to make more money for the podcast.
No. Actually, what I want to do is create a Hunter S. Thompson NPC. Don't stop here. This is backcountry. Riding around in a wagon. That'd be awesome.
On fantasy speed.
On fantasy speed. And Goblin Coke.
So you said you had two cages in ooze? In goo? And what now?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, there's one large cage and two smaller cages. The large one rests in a pool of thin green slime. So within the cages are three people. Uh-oh. Hey, guys, give me a sec real quick. I hear the pitter-patter of several feet now.
Uh-oh.
Baby, yeah, there's the pig.
I think they're all unionizing over here. Hang on.
Release the dogs.
Quell the rebellion.
Crush them. Do it. Do it.
I am the Senate.
Do not hold back just because it is your own progeny.
See, we're going up against this collective that is a lich, and we are going to be the Senate. So I think we can take this to them. We got this.
Well, we got two people that can double cast. So that's already that's four people down already just with double casting. And you only need three.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
What Paul doesn't know is that I'm just going to wish that they don't exist anymore.
Depending on the time, he might let you get away with it.
I know, exactly. Right? Exactly.
That's why we wait. We hold on to that tactic.
Ah, motherfucker. No, my bouncy ball.
No!
Tragic.
Well, at least now you have the high ground on the bouncy ball.
I do. You won't try it.
It's over, bouncy ball. I have the high ground now.
I hate you.
I wish I knew what goes through the mind of my turtle.
Paul's going to go back and listen to this. And just, what the fuck? They're going to think we're on some fantasy speed. Some goblin coke.
Some goblin coke.
No, it's that real life speed that we're on.
She's just staring out of her cage, and I don't know at what. Are you contemplating life, Tom?
Tom the turtle, I dig it.
He's a good turtle.
I mean, I think it would be hard to have a turtle that was bad.
Right? Like Frank the turtle. Did you ever see that little made-up story?
I feel like I definitely did.
Somebody just made up the story like behind Frank the turtle, but it was basically like this huge snapping turtle that made its way to like a neighborhood, and people tried to like move it back into the swamp or wherever it came from, and he was just not having it. He was huge, man. It took like two dudes just to pick him up. Like, it is a big ass snapping turtle.
That's big turtle.
Yeah, those snapping turtles that can just bite a watermelon in half, like that size.
It's a big old mean motherfucker too.
Big old meat. That's why the name was Frank. He was just a big asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, if you run to anybody in real life with the name of Frank, you're like, I don't know about this guy. His name's Frank. It's like the name of like a very old New York cabbie. you're on your way to work and you're like, hey, how's it going, Frank? He's like, what's it to you, man? Just get in the cab and shut the fuck up, please.
Okay, now they're getting smart on me.
Were they hiding?
No, they weren't hiding. They were like, hey, do you need another beer?
They already know how to bribe you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's like, son of a... Yeah, you're right. I do need another beer, guys. Thanks.
Here, Dad. Here,
have some cake. Man, they're smart, man. Now, where were we? Okay, so one large cage, two smaller cages. We're going to bypass this fairly quickly. I'm just going to read off what's on here in this area. It looks like go ahead.
So we're moving on to the third room?
No, we're going to... not yet. I'm going to read you through this second room here.
Okay.
It looks like these are some science experiments that have gone horribly, horribly, terribly wrong. These are people that were partially transformed into hybrid beasts, each of them. And so what you're seeing is like their bodies are racked with terrible side effects. You notice in the large cage is a wood elf who has been partially transformed into a human-sized moose. The transition has made her extremely sick and afflicted her with sight rot. And you notice that she is blind. Green slime drains from her eyes onto the floor. And in the smaller cages, are a pair of dwarven twins that were partially transformed into giant boars. Both of them are afflicted with indefinite madness, which manifests itself as the flaw. I've discovered that I really like killing people. Oof. And so,
swear to God, if one of them starts repeatedly saying over and over, Edward, I'm going to lose my shit.
Edward?
Well, I was really, you were pulling at my heartstrings and then you mentioned the dwarves, and then you mentioned they're crazy, so now I don't care so much.
That music that was playing for him in the other room just turned into like really sad violin music.
So y'all want to try anything with these three, or should we just move on?
Can I message them and see if not the dwarves, we know they are crazy, but can I message the others and see if they are still of sound body and mind?
The wood elf.
And if they need help?
Sure. Let's do a little bit of roleplay. How would that look like? How would that sound like?
So I would just send a message to all of them. They would receive it individually, but they would respond separately. Hello, I am Drogan Darksteel. I am adventurer here looking for a lady by name of Saria Summergale and a large boar snoot. I can fix you with dispel magic if you so choose and set you free. If you can give me information, that would be nice. If you would like to continue your miserable existence, let me know.
Go ahead.
That's it. I was just saying end.
Oh.
Over.
No, so what you hear is all of them say, Gary! No, I'm kidding. You hear all three of them say in their own way, help me!
Alrighty, and so without the dwarves, how many targets are there?
Or there's one. There's the moose and then the two dwarves.
The wood elf is is like a hybrid of a human-sized moose.
Yes.
So you can tell there's parts that are wood elf and parts that are moose.
So I would just like to walk up. So there are only three people then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I would just like to help the wood elf then, because I do not want to deal with the crazy people. I'd like to walk up to wood elf. Let's see, do I have other magic? Can I use detect magic to tell what level of magic is afflicting this individual?
You can.
All right, I would like to do so.
Okay, when you do, you don't really detect any magic as much as it is more of a partially polymorph, but like a hybrid of it, a different type of polymorph.
So this is a unique spell, not necessarily in the books.
Correct.
Understandable.
It's experimental.
Does that mean I could use my own polymorph to change him back into full person?
You could try.
I would like to do so. I would like to turn this half-wood elf, half-moose fellow back into normal wood elf.
Okay. So describe that real quick for us.
So I'm going to use my polymorph. I get my fancy hands out. They go woo, 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 woo. And then you see he changed back. The horns shrink, the fur goes away, and he begins to look like a normal wood elf, hopefully.
Okay, what you see is the wood elf is actually a female in a full female form.
Ha ha, huzzah.
Hello.
Zoom, okay. Zoom.
Zoom, zoom.
that aside, she still carries the sight rot and is still oozing down her eye sockets onto the floor.
Yeah. Well, that's disgusting.
So let's see.
So she's half-elf again, like full.
Full half-elf, yes. Or wood elf, excuse me. Wood elf. Not half-elf. She's a wood elf. Oh, now, with polymorph, go ahead and roll me 2d10s.
Correct. Let's just do the zoom. 74.
Okay. All right. So...
Oh, fuck. I read 74. It's not good. Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Thok, give me a number between 1 and 4.
3.
Okay. And Molokde Kenmauer.
Molokde Kenmauer.
Molokde Kenmauer.
Pick another number in that 4 that's not the number he chose.
Well, then it sounds like my only other option, because the options one, two, are super four. Limited.
Oh, so we're doing it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to go with number 1.
Okay. You're poisoned.
Me?
Yes.
I apologize.
Bitch.
You just see me go, woom, 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 and I fix the wood elf lady for the most part. And then, you know, you all of a sudden are having a tummy ache.
For the next 3 hours. Sorry,
so
go ahead.
So we just cured the wood elf, the two dwarves we left alone?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not going to be a fucking sociopath and leave them be.
Can I cast regenerate on the wood elf? Could literally restore the rest of her back.
You can try.
Alrighty. I'll just roll here. So with what modifier does my spell casting get? Is that my spell attack bonus, or is that like my wisdom?
That's your spell attack.
Spell attack?
Yeah, spell casting, yeah.
Okay, so I rolled a 30 then.
Okay.
On a regenerate.
Okay. The notes here says that it has to be lesser restoration or greater restoration, but given that high roll, I am going to go with... you know, not only do you cure her eyesight, but yeah, all that green ooze, that green slime stops coming out of her eye sockets too.
Yeah, and then she'll regenerate her eyes over time.
Yeah.
2 minutes, it says on the spell book.
Okay. So doing so, she tells you, "Hello, my name is Inthria. I thank you for everything that you have done, and I promise to protect you while you're here in the Verdant Frontistery." She promises to protect you through the rest of this crazy area. And so y'all leave the two dwarves alone, or what are y'all going to do?
Fuck those dwarves.
I am not going to be like that, so...
Okay, let's see what you do.
Well, since we are both pressed for time, I too have polymorph. But because I'm a wild mage and I have seen the end of eternity, I would like to combine spells.
Okay.
Can't, well...
Or can you do double spells, right?
I can hang on. I can do double spells, and I can do it at a distance because they're crazy motherfuckers. I might be nice, but I'm not stupid.
All right.
So, I'm going to... Well, with my cosmic powers, I am going to put mending in my left hand, and I'm going to put polymorph in my right, and I am going to do some, you know, cool wavy jazz hand kind of, like, Doctor Strange-looking thing, and it's going to just turn into this big disc, and then the disc is going to break, and then they're just going to launch themselves at the dwarven people, and it's going to divide and conquer. It might be one pig. That might be why they're going crazy.
Zoom, zoom.
Yep, fuck
hashtag
it.
Zoom, zoom. It's the official hashtag of the episode.
Hashtag zoom, zoom.
Holy cow, I'm going to have to write that one down. Hashtag zoom, zoom. Hashtag zoom, zoom. Okay. All right, so you do that, so go ahead and roll me on the wild magic surge table. That was pretty freaking cool, man. I think you earned it.
Oh, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah. And daddy likes... It's a 57.
Okay. Since there are two spells, you're going to have to roll them both, right?
Oh, that's... Yes. Okay, so that's a 57. And a 42. The answer to life, the universe, and everything!
And let's see. All right. So with a 57, you said you touched both of them, or how'd you cast it?
I used mending, which is generally a contact spell, but I also spent two sorcery points to do it at a distance so that I don't get bitten.
Okay, gotcha. So then in that case, you turn into a potted plant.
Not again.
All right, I would like to pick up my friend, Moloch Dikin Mar, and I would like to turn him upside down and put him on my head.
Okay, give me a strength check.
Oh, I'm not very good at this one. 16.
16, you do that, but you end up smashing him on top of your head, and then he immediately returns to his normal state and plops on top of you, straddling your shoulders there.
Ooh. Huzzah, zoom, zoom. I told you I could do it, Moloch. You are back, friend. You are no longer potted plant.
You guys do kids' parties.
Absolutely.
Asking for a friend.
How do you think we've gotten so much money and fame and fortune and topple government power status? Zoom, zoom.
Crooked politics.
You saw how I handled those Yonti. They were like pawns in my game.
Okay, so you're... Okay, so you transform these guys back into dwarves, and they swear their allegiance to you.
Ah, now we have crazy followers. Yes, sweet.
No, I have crazy followers, and you shall serve as my throne.
We do as you command. Go, great one. Zoom, zoom.
Well then, Moloch Dekinmar commands thee. Just what the hell is this place?
It's supposed to be some sort of institution to further along some research that crazy old lich is doing.
And what do you know of this research? Tell me, as those that were exposed to this unfortunate circumstance, what kind of bullshittery goes on here?
That's a very good question. We do not know. We were merely an experiment that went wrong.
Zoom, okay. Zoom.
How did you find yourself here?
I was captured. We were captured. All three of us. That is true. We were captured.
Okay.
Okay, so
you're free to go.
Zoom, zoom.
We gotta come out with like a hand sign now or some shit. Like Zoltan. Zoltan. We could just use that. We'll borrow that for Zoom, zoom. They have Z's. Zoltan.
Zoom, hey, zoom.
They do the Z twice. Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom. It's like they're scissoring your hands. Zoom, zoom.
That'll work. All right, so let's see. Number 12. Scattered throughout the high ferns in this room are the broken remains of statues depicting robed humanoid figures. This area is filled with large bushes bearing fist-sized yellow and pink flowers. Everybody roll a d20.
Just a flat number?
Yeah.
Okay.
Drogan rolls modest 5.
Symmetrical 11.
Very symmetrical 10.
Symmetrical 11. I like that, dude. That's pretty good. Okay, so the five. You notice that there are statues in this joint. However, with a five, you notice that these are all petrified remains of previous faculty and students of this institution who were turned to stone, and they're all damaged significantly. Let me see. And Thok, you notice that there is an orchid, striker, mantis, or a pair of, three of them. That's what those bushes are. And lastly, Malakde Kenmauer, you notice that there's a garden door. And written in, let me see, anyone speak Sylvan?
Let me check.
I have not fixed my extra language on my character sheet, so yes, I speak Sylvan.
Excellent. Then you read on the door the following poem. My goal remains. I seek one prize. To grant the parasites rebirth. New clacking, crawling, buzzing guys to protect the primal grace of Earth.
Well, that sounds scary as fuck.
Yes, and y'all see two keyholes in this bad boy. One made of jade and another one made of turquoise.
I'm going to place the key I found in the other room in one of the keyholes.
It works. And again, for story's sake, because we bypassed the rest of the area, we'll say that you also retrieve the turquoise key as well.
What is this in my left pocket? A key made of jade.
Okay, so here's what happens, right? When you do that, you slowly pull it out. And then you do the Kylo Ren Ben Solo shoulder click. Have y'all seen that the shoulder thing going on Twitter?
I don't think so.
I don't think I have seen it.
No. Yeah, the Ben Solo shoulder shrug.
Oh my god, it's a challenge.
You see that now?
Yeah.
Where he retrieves the lightsaber from behind his back, turns it on.
Right. Oh yes,
Knights of Ren. Does a Han Solo shrug, starts whooping ass. That's exactly what happens when you do that. You do that with the turquoise key.
Nice.
That's the only way Thok does. Okay, so then y'all go through. Let's see. You walk into caustic smells and the sound of bubbling liquids fill the air of this laboratory, where esoteric scientific equipment and arcane devices are neatly sorted on tables and bookshelves. A tall creature wearing a lab coat uses a scalpel to slowly flay the flesh from a wood elf bound to a surgical table in the center of the room. The surgeon's face is a skeletal visage of rot, and her hair is a mass of hissing and writhing snakes. And everyone roll a perception check.
18.
Noise.
Okay, 18 is good enough. You know that this surgeon is the one known as Thymia Scarlet Scale.
Ah, that's not very good at all. She's one of the bad guys.
And... So I'm trying to see here. Let's see. You see a Yuan-Ti Abomination, Yuan-Ti Malison Type 1, and a ceiling-crawling blister beetle.
People
and
from Yuan-Ti do look like abominations.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, well, I know somebody that would miss that shit.
I see. So what do y'all want to do? Y'all see the henchmen, the minions, and you see this crazy bitch.
I would like to twidcast Wish.
All right.
All right, so let me subtract my 9 sorcery points to do so. Just a moment.
Just to cast it? Oh, without having to do all the other crazy jive?
No.
I think at level 20, we don't have to do the crazy jive anymore.
It allows me to do Wish twice. Not once, but twice.
Yeah.
Holy crap, I think I just woke up my kids, man. Holy cow.
Oh, no.
It's so worth it.
All right, let me see here. Let me go to Wish very quickly in the thing, and we see that this is the mightiest spell a mortal creature can cast. By simply speaking out loud, I can alter very foundations of reality in accord with my desires. Okay, so I would like to take all of the beings that create this lichdom, Thymia Scarlet Scale, Raktor, and the Mind Flayer. I would like to put them all along with their phylactery in a little cube.
How little?
I'd say like the cosmic cube in the Avengers, like a good hand size. Fits in your hand very nicely. I mean, we have to have something for the bad guys to go on a quest for at some point. It could be a nice lower level campaign, so, you know, a little cube that has some nasty shit inside of it is very good. So that is wish number one. Okay. And wish number two is that we have Saria Summergale and Snoot in front of us. and that we are all teleported back to Alith Summergale's house.
That's a very specific wish.
Yes. No one monkeys paw bulls.
Yeah.
No, that was two wishes.
Okay.
Two different wishes. One wish gathers all the bad guys and puts them in the cube, and the other wish puts us, Saria Summergale, and Snoot back home.
Okay, roll Wild Magic Surge, man. Twice.
I can do that. This is doable.
Yes.
Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom,
zoom.
78. And 64.
Damn.
Okay, with 78, you cast Polymorph on yourself.
Yes, I would like to, let's see, I'm level 20.
I want to transmutate.
Wait. Yeah, hold on. You have to roll a saving throw based on your DC save.
Very good. So I have to pass my own save.
Mm-hmm.
This is not good. My save is very high. Is it wisdom?
No, it's charisma. Whatever's on your...
absolutely. Very good. Save. Very good. I can... Oh, natural 20. No, fine. Fine. Perfect. No issues here.
Perfect.
Okay. And
Zoom.
So, okay, since you're casting Polymorph on yourself, you control what you morph yourself into, which would be?
It's literally anything less than level CR20, correct?
We are level 20.
So it has to be less than CR20. Give me a moment to get my monster manual and pick something very cool.
You polymorph into a storm giant, dude.
Actually, I kind of like that. Zoom, zoom. Storm giant it is. So again, we're at the home of the Summergales outside with Snoot, Aelith, and Saria. And then you see me. We all appear there in the wish, and it goes boom. And then when the wish flashes over, you see me with my friends there. And I am now storm giant, goes zoom, zoom.
The only problem, though, is nobody can see you because for the second spell, you casted fog cloud centered on yourself.
I'm a storm giant. It makes sense there is cloud.
Yes, yes, it does.
You're like a titan from Hercules.
Oh, wow, this is crazy.
I am Drogon Darksteel.
All they see is this fantasy speed haze. And it's just saying zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom.
I hear the wind.
The wind goes zoom.
It's a faint sound.
Oh, wow.
I would then like to cast Plane Shift on my friends tonight, and we are going to go to Earth.
Okay. What are you doing on Earth?
Let's go to New York City. I am Storm Giant. I can climb the buildings there. It will be fun.
He's had enough of fantasy speed. He wants that real speed now.
I know a good place for ale there.
And then I would like to use my other 7th level spell slot once in New York to go back to Forgotten Realms, where I assume this takes place.
Okay, zoom zoom.
Now we are back at the home of the Summervales with Snoot and Zoom Zoom.
Wow. Okay.
What an adventure.
It is, man. Damn, that's pretty damn solid, man. I like that. You know what? And then from there, everything slowly, like, fades to black. And then written in French are the words zoom zoom.
Zoom zoom.
And then in parentheses, Finn.
Finn. End scene. Wow, guys, great job.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to need a few drinks after this one.
Oh, man.
To my Zeppelin.
Guys, that was the easiest 10,000 gold and mithril loincloth and red dragon scale mail we've ever made.
Hell yeah.
Fuck it was, dude.
All we had to go is zoom, zoom. We went in, we went zoom, zoom, and then we won.
That's it.
I feel like that's a Donald Trump tweet. Like, we went in, we went zoom, zoom, and we won. Look at that. Huge. Kofifi. Huge.
Huge.
Zoom, zoom.
Huge Kofifi.
Huge Kofifi. Zoom, zoom.
Best zoom, zoom you've ever seen, I promise.
It's the best zoom, zoom.
There's no other zoom, zoom better than mine.
And that's what's up.
That's what's up. Holy cow.
It's written in cursive.
I feel like this was the return party of my Twitter account, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Like the Wood Elves. They're great people.
These last couple of months.
No, Zoom Zoom's going to be trending in like 5 hours.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So right now, what's trending on Twitter is like the war in Iran, and then under that is going to be
Zoom Zoom.
Ben shoulder like,
shrug. They're great people.
Holy cow. I understand the Zoom Zoom.
If you don't understand that, you don't live the Zoom Zoom life. The Zoom Zoom life lives you.
Holy smokes. And I thought I had it pretty good when I said fantasy thoughts and prayers, but Zoom Zoom just beat that. Holy
Zoom Zoom. Yep. Zoom Zoom.
Zoom Zoom. All right, guys. So we played through Pretty Little Liches, Greenhouse of Nightmares, a Tier 4 adventure from Zeke Gonzalez. Thank you very much, Zeke, for letting us have some fun with this. All right, man. Well, thank you so much, Gavin, for hanging out with us one more time for season 2.
Oh, man, I love this. I'll come back anytime you guys want me.
Zoom,
oh,
zoom.
Zoom, zoom. Zoom, zoom. Awesome. Well, thank you guys once again. And I know a lot of this was a short notice for everybody. I try to get on Twitter. Let me see. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ashton Kutcher, and Neil Patrick Harris, but they never replied back. So maybe next time we'll get one of those three guys on here.
Maybe one day they'll realize the hashtag Zoom Zoom Gang is where it's at.
Hell yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Y'all have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right. Until next time.
Where are you from? Where do you live?
I live in Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Are you also from Texas?
Yeah, I'm in Dallas with Paul here.
You're one of the regular members of the D&D and Big D crew.
Not so much. This is actually the first time I do anything with it.
Oh, dang.
I've like pre-recorded like intros to a couple episodes, but I haven't participated in any of the adventures. This would be the first.
Very nice. I am honored.
So am I. He's a damn good role player.
Am I?
Mm-hmm.